Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, October 24th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the latest film news. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at SlashFilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst, Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Ryan, I've been trying to get back in the habit of doing ranking episodes on Thursdays because those are always fun conversations to have. The most recent one that we did was a ranking of our favorite Florence Pugh performances, but those episodes often take a little bit of time to put together, and today has just been one of those days where I've barely had time to take a breath. I was actually worried that we might have to skip recording today, but thankfully we were able to carve out some time here, and instead of doing a big ranking, I thought you and I could basically just run through this great piece that was published this morning over at The Hollywood Reporter that features an interview with Steve Asbell, who runs 20th Century Studios. He addressed the future of the Alien franchise, the Predator franchise, a bunch more stuff. So as you hear this, we have our own articles up on Slash Film with some commentary and analysis of some of these statements, but you and I are going to run through all the biggest points and just offer our own commentary. So does that sound good to you?
That sounds awesome. I was at lunch when you first sent me this, and I hadn't read it yet. And then I messaged you after I read it. I was like, Jesus Christ, every once in a while you get one of these interviews where it just seems like everything the person says is like a news item. And it's yeah, rare, but it happens. And this is one of those ones where you're like, holy shit, like everything he said is great. So there is actually a lot to get to here in this one thing.
Yes. Before we get to the major update, there was one little thing that I wanted to highlight that I thought might excite you personally, Ryan, which is when asked what the balance is between making original movies and making franchise movies, Asbell said that next year, 2025, those would basically be split just about evenly with 20th Century projects. He said job one was figuring out these franchise movies first and coming up with the right cadence of Avatar, Apes, Alien, and Predator specifically. Getting those right was the first part, which we've done now. And so that idea is to be able to say, okay, we know when the Avatar movies are coming. We know now about Predator. There will be another Apes in 2027, let's just say. So knowing where we can plan those franchises, it helps us look to see and ask what kinds of original movies in terms of genre do we want to test the marketplace with. So that was his quote, and I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. He sort of hinted at another Apes movie there, potentially in 2027. It was not like a confirmed, locked-in kind of thing, but it certainly seems like something they're thinking about. So what are you thinking about, in, I guess, when you hear that?
Ben, you know damn well that was the first thing I picked out of this thing. It's what it sounds like to me, because he was not afraid to confirm things in this. Like, we'll talk about something later that he pretty much, I think he just sort of conceded to in this interview, like, all right, I guess I'm saying this. But like, so with the Apes thing, I think what it sounds like, this is like a soft confirmation, right? Where it's like, okay, we're probably going to make another Apes movie. And yeah, I think 2027 makes a lot of sense. You and I have talked about Wes Ball's availability. He's trying to make that, you know, Zelda movie, you know, whatever, all this stuff. But the 3-year gap wouldn't be so bad. I think like any longer than that between franchise installments, and it gets tricky. I love the 2-year gap if you can. But yeah, so I'm very, very excited about this, and I really hope it happens. And I do hope it's definitely not a situation where there's a precipitous drop off. Because I do think that there is more in the tank than just one movie here. But as I mentioned earlier this year, I am over the moon excited about what that next Apes movie could be, given the way that Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes ended. And yeah, so obviously, like, very happy to hear this. Leads me to believe they are going to try to get Ball to come back. And obviously, this is like very much news aimed squarely at my ears. So I'm very excited. Awesome. I don't know about you. Do you have any feelings about that? I forgot. We haven't talked about him. How did you feel about Kingdom? Like, do you have any feelings on this?
The more I think about it, the more I like it. So I am excited to see what they do with it. And I think Westball did a terrific job with it. So I'm excited to see if they actually can get him back, because like you said, he's very much a sort of in-demand filmmaker right now. So it seems like he had a really great experience making the movie. I remember his talk with BJ on the podcast earlier this year. He sounded like he genuinely really loved the experience of making it. And sometimes that's not the case when filmmakers get sort of squeezed through the franchise machine. So yeah, I hope that I feel like in that interview, which has been, that was back in like March or something of this year, I want to say that he hinted at plans for and ideas for a sequel. And stuff,
he did. He definitely did. And the other thing is, because I wrote, the Maze Runner turned 10 this year, which was the first big franchise he took. And I think when you hear him talk about those movies, it was very much like, it didn't sound like the best experience. Like, he did an incredible job, but it sounded like it was brutal. There was no money, and he was having, and like the way he talks about this movie, like, it sounds like night and day just him talking about it.
Yeah.
So I do think, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we can go on and on about this, but I'll leave it at I'm excited.
Okay. So speaking of going on, let's talk about Alien. He said, we're working on a sequel idea now. We haven't quite closed our deal with Fede Alvarez, but we're going to, and he has an idea that we're working on. The two survivors, Rain and Andy, played by Kaylee Spaney and David Johnson, were real highlights of the film. And so I always think of it like, wow, where do people want to see them go next? We know there's going to be aliens. We know there's going to be great horror set pieces, but I fell in love with both of them and I want to see what their story is. So what do you think about this idea of picking up with these two characters and continuing the story there? Because I kind of feel like this movie ended in such a way where I would have been okay if they decided to continue telling alien stories and just jumping around to a bunch of different casts and not necessarily following these character stories, but I also really did like those characters. So I'm not opposed to the continuing adventures of Rain and Andy, but where do you fall on that spectrum?
It definitely feels like, I say a rock and a hard place, but I say that with the rock and the hard place both being good possibilities. Does that make sense? Like, it's sort of what happened in the aftermath of Prey, right? Where, okay, you had Prey, which was great, and you could leave that alone, but you could also see that story continuing. But then you could also just go and do Predator movies and others. So it's like you have two viable paths, and I don't envy having to pick which path. Now, The one thing I will say is he did mention like they're trying to close their deal with Fede Alvarez, who directed Alien Romulus. He sounds confident they're going to get that deal done. Fede sounded like he had a very pretty clear idea of what he wanted to do with the sequel. So I tend to trust Fede. Like, if he's got an idea, if he's got a sequel that he wants to do, if he knows where that story goes, I don't see why not. I thought David Johnson was the MVP of that movie. I thought he was fantastic. Alien Romulus is by no means a perfect movie. It's like a greatest hits movie until it becomes something absolutely wackadoo in the third act, which I love. And where it leaves off, I'm with you. You could leave that. You could never answer that mystery. But there's absolutely a story to tell. You know, like they definitely leave a thread of like, there is an obvious thread to pull here. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to get into light spoiler territory for Romulus, or should we not do that right now?
I guess we have too much to get into, so maybe.
Okay, then let's. Okay, but I will say for anyone that has seen Romulus knows pretty damn well that those characters are headed somewhere. And maybe what they're looking for won't be what they think they're looking for. And I would be curious to see what that looks like.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, so I'll leave it at that. But I'm, again, if they get Fede back, whatever he wants to do, he's a guy I trust.
Yeah. He also mentioned that there are currently not any plans for any more Kingsman movies or spinoffs or anything like that. I personally don't think there's a real big loss there. I kind of personally think that a lot of these movies are not very good, the Kingsman movies. So where do you stand on that?
I think the original Kingsman is like an inspired movie. Like,
yeah, I like that one, to be clear.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sequel definitely suffered from too many idea syndrome. Like there's good stuff in it, but I found myself kind of fascinated with the prequel, even though it wasn't an outright good movie. Yeah, it just never struck me as the kind of thing that needed like a full expansive franchise. I would have honestly rather have just seen like a third Kingsman to wrap up Eggsy's story, and you just kind of, it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So that's fine. Like, I don't think you need to, this is a classic example of a franchise that they're going to kind of hold on to the rights to, and in about 10 years, they'll do something else with it. Like, for, yeah. So, you know, it'll come back eventually, but I'm fine with them not doing anything with it now.
All right. And then he also mentioned Agatha Christie projects. They have more movies in the works. He said, quote, "We have And Then There Were None. We have Witness for the Prosecution. We're doing Miss Marple. There's a bunch of other titles that we're working on. We have a very close relationship with the estate." I think it's notable that he didn't mention any of the Kenneth Branagh movies there, or Kenneth Branagh at all, or any of the Poirot stuff, because those have been the Agatha Christie movies that Fox has worked on most recently. And so I don't recall exactly how well Death in Venice, or whatever the name of that most recent movie that came out last year was, but I don't remember how well that did in theaters, but maybe it's illuminating that he didn't mention the continuation of the Poirot thing. But there have been movie versions of And Then There Were None and Witness of the Prosecution in the past. I've seen them. I think I've talked about them on previous episodes of The Water Cooler, and I liked them a lot. I have not really dug into the Miss Marple thing at all. But so I'm personally excited to see new adaptations of these Agatha Christie projects, because I'm a big fan of her work. But I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, or the lack of Poirot mentioned here in this comment.
I don't think the lack of Poirot stuff is damning at all. I think the fact that Haunting in Venice got made at all after what happened with Death on the Nile, like, suggested to me that Death on the Nile did so well on streaming that the theatrical was kind of just like almost a way to sort of market that to a secondary audience. Mm. And, you know, Haunting in Venice cost $60 million. It did a little over $120 worldwide and seemed to do very well on streaming. So it's an example of a movie that didn't purely profit in theaters, but that theatrical run set it up for an eventual like path to profitability, which is kind of how this should work sometimes. Mm. I think the thing was Kenneth Branagh, you've got an Oscar nominated director and actor who probably has other things he wants to do. And he made three of these Poirot movies back to back to back. It would not be surprising to me if he just is exhausted and doesn't want to initially do a fourth one. That's fine. I think that then the idea of going, okay, well, we can still do some of these other Agatha Christie things. Like, I love And Then There Were None. That's an awesome, I would love to see a new version of that with like these killer ensembles they're able to put together for these. So like I said, after I saw Haunting in Venice, like I would watch 45 of these Poirot movies. Like I just, something about them. So I feel like, okay, fine. If you're not going to definitely get Poirot, like absolutely do more Agatha. Like this is so smart and great. And I think that it's a window into the business too, that like, even though these movies are not outright successful in theaters, they're clearly doing well for Disney in the aggregate. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a good sign, and I'm all for this.
Excellent. Okay. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about Predator and a bunch of other potential updates here.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, so before we get to Predator, I wanted to mention this line about a Master and Commander prequel. Asbel said, quote, "I'm trying so hard. It's the first movie I worked on at Fox 20 years ago. We have a great script. It just needs the right director." So I didn't even remember that they were working on a Master and Commander prequel. I don't recall if this has been said in the public or not. It's possible we even covered it in the Slash film, but just so much stuff is going on these days that I'm having trouble recalling every single thing. But in any case, I'm not sure how I feel about this, because Peter Weir directed that first movie from 2003, and that film rules. It's so great. It's basically become kind of a almost a cult classic in a way, even though it got a lot of attention at the time. But the reputation that that movie has sustained and grown over the years has just been incredible. So it's hardly a surprise that people love Master and Commander. So I guess it shouldn't surprise me that Fox wants to try, or not Fox anymore, 20th Century Studios wants to try to tap in and make a little bit more money off this thing. But yeah, a great script. They need the right director. It's not going to be Peter Weir. So I don't know who would be able to step in. And then also you got to cast somebody as like a younger version of Russell Crowe, which becomes maybe a little bit of an issue there. So I don't know. What do you think about Master and Commander? And what do you think about the idea of a prequel here, Ryan?
I am deeply ashamed to admit that this is one of my big blind spots.
Oh,
I've never gotten around, even though it seems like the kind of movie I would love and I know I will probably love it. I just never got around to it. So I can't really rightfully say, but I do remember hearing stuff about this potential prequel because this is one of those movies that even though I haven't seen it in the 20 years since it came out, its reputation has grown by like orders of magnitude. Mm-hmm. And so like, I do think that there might be something there.
Man, I'm so excited for you to actually watch that movie.
Oh, I am too. It's just one of those things where, as I live out here with the Alamo Draft House, and we have like the Paramount Theater out here, there's a lot of places that do repertory screenings, and I've always kind of secretly hoped that they will like that will just show up one of these days, and I can go see it in a theater instead of just watching it at home. But yeah, like I'll probably surrender to just watching it at home one of these days because. As the days go on, I grow increasingly more like curious about this, but I can't comment beyond that, but all I can say is from an observer standpoint, it's clear that this movie has hung around well beyond its original theatrical life.
Definitely. All right. So Asbel said that there are no plans for more Die Hard stuff yet, which is not, again, not too surprising, especially given Bruce Willis's diagnosis that he got not too long ago. So it would be kind of a tough thing, I think, to relaunch that franchise, I guess, in this current environment or in these current circumstances, let's say. So
yeah, because they were trying to get that prequel / sequel done for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even after the Disney merger, they talked about that still being alive. And it always seemed like a bad idea to me.
Yeah,
it really did. So yeah, I don't know. Because like the thing that is special about Die Hard, and I'm not like pretending like I'm the first person that's ever said this, but like you're watching John McClane become John McClane. Like that's the moment where he becomes more than just a cop. So like, what is a prequel about John McClane? What does that do? He's just a beat cop. Mm-hmm. Like, and if he's somehow special before that movie, it like makes Die Hard less special. It's yep. So I just leave it alone. Like it's one of those ones that like, fine, leave it alone.
100%. Okay, so let's talk about Predator. Disney has given Predator Badlands, which is the next movie in this franchise, a theatrical release date of November 7th, 2025. Dan Trachtenberg, who directed Prey in 2022, is returning to direct, and Elle Fanning is starring this time around. We still don't really know too many details about this, but Asbel's quote here is really interesting. He said, after Prey became a success, Dan came back and said he didn't want to do Prey 2. And we're like, what do you want to do? And he rattled off a bunch of ideas that were really crazy, but really cool. We've actually done two of them. Two are coming out next year. One I can't talk about yet, but the other one is the live-action Predator film with Elle Fanning that just wrapped in New Zealand. It's titled Badlands, and it is an absolutely bonkers idea. It's a sci-fi thing, but it's not what everybody thinks it is. And I mean, it's awesome. It's so nuts, but in Dan we trust. And then, so I don't really think we have much more to say about that because I think we talked about that when that news first came out, right? So the next thing is, he said, there's a second Predator movie that we have different plans for. Dan has actually directed both. There's a secret Predator movie that will come out before the theatrical one, but I can't say anything about yet. So This is a total shock to me. I had no idea that the second movie was in the works or even what it is. So what was your reaction when you saw that?
God, do I wish we could have got the 10 Cloverfield Lane version of this, right? Where like we didn't need this interview never came out. And then like they just found some way to advertise it like a week before it came out or something. But I think what was funny is a lot of us were sitting there after Prey hit. It was well over two years ago. We're like, why haven't they announced anything? And Badlands got confirmed a handful of months ago. So it's like, okay, they're finally getting some movement in that direction. well, it's kind of awesome that like clearly they got moving on something else pretty quick, right? Yeah. Like they clearly locked up Dan and they're like, let's go bang a couple of these out, shall we? What I'm fascinated by is he refuses to confirm. It sounds more like this other one is going to go straight to streaming.
Yeah. They definitely drew the distinction there when they were asking the question about theatrically.
Yeah.
And he made that comment about, yeah, one is coming out theatrically. The other is like, he only committed to one of them coming out theatrically. And then he said,
yeah,
he like,
didn't
other plans
very non-committal. Yeah. I find that bit fascinating, but so it sounds very much like this is not Prey 2. Even though it would make a lot of sense to me if it was. But I love that. Like, it clearly sounds like Dan just had like a bunch of ideas and they're like, we like these two, go make them.
Yeah, I was wondering if the secret one might be an animated project, because I'll read his quote again, or part of his quote again. One I can't talk about yet, but the other one is the live-action Predator film with Elle Fanning that just
grabbed
the news. So I wonder if there's something there where he sort of hinted at...
But animation takes a while.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, but like the idea of Dan Trachtenberg secretly directing a movie while also directing... a movie that everybody knew about. I mean, like, how busy can one person be? That's just like a huge task. So if it was animated, at least he could sort of maybe check in with other
but there's been
folks.
That,
I don't know.
But there's been that 2-year gap. So like, I think Badlands started filming what, like 2 months ago?
I don't recall, but yeah, I guess if it's going to be out in November of next year, yeah.
Let's try to, because this is the biggest story within this story. So let's take a second here. Cause like, Let's play movie detective. Okay, so filming on Badlands starts a couple months ago. Let's say August, roughly. That's at least roughly correct. Okay, so what do you need? Handful of months of pre-production. You know, okay, so that takes you to February, March of this year, something like that. That still gives you 15, 16 months post-release of Prey. He could have definitely got something done in that time. I don't know if it's enough time for a full theatrical animated movie, unless that was already in the works while Prey was happening. Like, they've just been quietly working on this for a while. So that's not a possibility, but it just depends how long they've been planning it.
Talk me through that timeline again, because I'm looking at Deadline now, and in February of this year, the report came out that Trachtenberg was going to be writing and directing Badlands, and it's expected to shoot later this year. So I'm not
sure.
Okay,
so that was in February, right?
Yeah, that was in February of this year.
Of this year. Okay, that lines up with exactly what I said, because that means, so let's say from February of that point, that's when you kind of start actual like pre-production on Badlands. It films in August. It's in post-production right now. So that's like roughly your timeline?
Yeah, but okay.
Prey came out in, I think, what was it, August of 2022?
That sounds like it could be right. I'll double check that. Yeah.
Okay. But I know it was like mid to late 2022.
It premiered. Yeah. August 5th. Yes.
Right. Okay. So early August. Okay. So then a lot of that lead up is press. The movie's been done for a bit. So the movie was probably done in early 2022. So
yeah,
depending
I
on
guess,
how
and soon, conceivably even earlier, maybe, because I think they're
right because
they're
of ravens. The pandemic and because right. of the all this. So conceivably, Dan was done with Prey for a while. They knew what they had. They seemed to know what they had. So these conversations with what do you want to do next didn't necessarily take place after Prey became a hit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So then he could have easily had another over a year window before even starting production on Badlands to get something else done. The timeline totally makes sense. Like it is very conceivable that he squeezed in two movies there. But that leads me to question why this leads me all to the big, like sort of like psychotic question now where I'm Charlie Kelly with the yarn board is why did we learn about Badlands and we didn't learn about this other thing that Steve Aswell won't say anything about?
Yeah, especially since this other one's coming out first. He explicitly said that. It's the Secret Predator movie will come up before the theatrical one. So, yeah,
right.
what does that mean?
So what the... Sorry, I try not to curse. What the fuck is this movie? That's what, like, he definitely, the time is there. It makes sense. This doesn't sound like something that was rushed. It's probably a full ass movie. What the fuck is it? Like, what the fuck is it? Like, I don't want to, like, go way out. Did he get Schwarzenegger back? Like, did he do something insane like that? Like, what is this?
Wow, I hadn't really considered that.
But why else would they keep it a secret, right? Because that's something that you don't even have to market that. You just go Schwarzenegger back Predator. That thing blows up the day it comes out.
Yeah, but like the live action distinction that he made there really has me wondering if this is something else. And I guess you could
totally agree.
You could easily get Schwarzenegger to maybe voice an animated version of Dutch or something.
Oh man, yeah. What if they did? See, yeah, but so yeah, maybe they did do like an animated like prime era Schwarzenegger sequel, right?
Yeah,
like something. But again, look, this is me going. Wait, please, listeners, don't. This is full on Ryan shooting off harebrained theories. Mind you, I'm the guy that convinced Slash Film to let me write a thing after I believe the second episode of The Book of Boba Fett, where I was absolutely convinced that they were setting up the return of Samuel L. Jackson as Mace Windu, and couldn't have been more wrong. so like every once in a while I put on my tinfoil hat around these parts, and I'm fully in tinfoil hat mode right now. And we haven't even gotten to the other thing, but yeah, this is, so I don't know, I guess my biggest thing, and we won't know this for a while, is why the hell was this one kept secret? It must be awesome. Like, that's all I'm left with, is they must know they have something awesome.
And when I first was reading about this, some of the editors and I were talking about, like, oh man, it would be so cool if they did if they pulled a split where it's a movie that's coming up that we know about is secretly actually a Predator movie. Because that seems like very in line with what Dan Trachtenberg wanted to do with Prey before the beans were spilled on that movie. So I thought that would be cool. But the fact that Trachtenberg has directed both of these films, really, I feel like we would know anything that he directed.
Possibly.
They've kept this project a secret. Unless they've gone so far, and this is really tinfoil hat stuff. They've like, you know, they've announced a movie that's coming up soon that none of us have really paid close attention to, with like a director whose name isn't real and Dan has adopted some sort of like a fake identity or something. You know, that's like ridiculous and not true at all, but
which could be awesome. Like, but like, again, who knows? But like, who knows? But there is clearly something at play here, and I am very excited, especially because Dan Trachtenberg is, if my math is right, 3 for 3, or is it 2 for 2? Because I mean, the dude has not missed. You know,
is it 3? Has he made 3 movies?
Or is it just? Is it just 2?
He's done a lot of TV, and he's been involved with a lot of
projects. Well, yeah, because he did. Because 10 Cloverfield Lane, Prey. There must. I can't believe there wasn't anything.
I think that was it. Yeah.
God, Hollywood failed him.
The Boys and like a Black Mirror, and he's worked on.
Okay, but the dude doesn't miss. Let's be clear there. So, I would like to talk a little bit about one of the other quotes here before we wrap up. So maybe we should stop going tinfoil hat. But
yes, definitely. Yeah. So I'm guessing you're talking about the fact that Steve Azbell said that we will probably see another Alien versus Predator movie.
Oh boy, do I want to talk about this? Okay. do you have any feeling? Okay. Do you want to read the quote? You want me to read the quote?
Yeah, I'll read it here. It says, it wouldn't be in the way you think. That's the thing. Not in the way that it will just be called Alien versus Predator or anything like the original movies. If we do this, they'll be organically created out of these two franchises that we've continued with characters that we fall in love with, and those characters will combine, perhaps. But we haven't gotten to that point, and we're not just going to bang it out.
Okay. So, this here's the thing. The first Alien versus Predator movie is fine, you know, like relative to, but what Alien versus Predator is one of the biggest missed opportunities like ever. It's one of those only crossovers that makes a ton of sense, and it just didn't, you know, it just didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. There was a thing that Fede Alvarez said a little bit ago when Alien Romulus was coming out, and he was asked about Alien versus Predator, and the quote didn't get a ton of play, but I want to read this quote to you. It was a red carpet interview with Deadline. And someone asked him, you know, when are you doing Alien versus Predator? And he goes, maybe something that I have to co-direct with my buddy Dan. And then he said, sort of elaborating on the idea, maybe we should do like Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez did with From Dusk Till Dawn. We'll do that. I direct one half, he directs the other half. There you go. That's the pitch. So I think maybe what he was getting at is more of like a Grindhouse type thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, come on.
We talked about that when that quote came out on a news episode of the podcast. I'm pretty sure. That sounds so familiar. I think.
Okay. Did, but, yeah. But either way, come on.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like, I think that it's interesting that they're saying, so this is the dude at the head of 20th Century. And he's saying this. This means they've talked about it. This means they've thought about it. This means they definitely have like someone had a loose pitch for how this could work.
Yep.
And so, okay, you've got Alien Romulus going right now. You've got Prey. You've got Badlands. You've got these other, what harebrained stuff do they have going on that leads to another Alien versus Predator? That's what I'm curious about. And so does this mean you sort of get some kind of cohesive Alien and Predator cinematic universe?
It kind of seems that way, especially if the next Alien movie is going to be a continuation of Romulus and feature the Andy and Rain characters again. I would not be surprised if those characters survive the next film and then show up in a crossover film.
I believe
that's what they're doing.
I believe I read something about Badlands that said that takes place in the future.
Interesting. Okay.
So I just, you know, you can start moving the pieces around the board and, you know, who knows, but I don't know. If you're going to do it, this sounds like kind of a fun way to do it.
Yeah.
Because it is something that makes sense. It doesn't feel like you're forcing anything. These two entities can absolutely exist in the same universe. That's what I believe. Yeah. And so I think that there's a way to do it that doesn't feel like you're robbing either thing of what it is.
Totally.
And so, you know, but anyway, that's all I got there. I just want to say it sounds cool and I'm into it.
Yeah. Okay. So the last thing here is that at a 30th anniversary screening of the movie Speed not too long ago, Sandra Bullock recently said that Hollywood might not be brave enough to make a Speed 3. That's sort of a paraphrasing of her sentiment there. And Speed 3, which that could potentially reunite her and Keanu Reeves. They did not appear together in the second film, but there's been a lot of love around the original Speed because it's 30 years old this year. And Jan de Bont, the director, came out to that screening at Beyond Fest in Los Angeles with Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves. And it was like a big love fest about that movie. And so Steve Azbell was asked about those comments and he said, Hollywood is brave enough. We are brave enough. We are sitting by the phone. It's one of those last movies that we haven't remade. And to really be a reason to come back, it's got to be a great idea and an idea that excites Bullock and Keanu Reeves, because that would be the reason to see it. It's obviously a really important title for us, but it's not something we would handle lightly or just try to press them into service. They'd have to be a part of the development of that idea. I don't know if they would actually do this, Ryan, without Jan de Bont, and I don't know if 20th Century would actually be willing to make the movie as practically as de Bont would actually want to make it. So I don't know. Do you think that there's any hope that this happens?
I can't see it making any financial sense. The original Speed rules. Speed Cruise Control is the most irresponsible movie I've ever seen. but you know, whatever. Like that, it was that era. It happens. But like, Sandra Bullock still commands a huge salary these days. Keanu Reeves commands one heck of a salary, and you know, if you don't get Jan de Bont to do it, you're probably going to get another expensive director to do it. They're not going to do it with some Joe Nobody, I don't think. As much as like the movie lover in me like wants that badly, like a Speed Legacy sequel sounds awesome. There's no version of this that doesn't cost like $150 million. And like, I don't think Speed 3 makes $400 million worldwide in 2027 or whatever, you know, like, yeah. It just doesn't. Although there has been instances where, like, if you look at the X-Files reboot, right, like where like it gets talked about in the press, people seem excited about it, and then like it happens, right? Like, this does seem like one of those things that people talk about and maybe it actually gets it going. Yeah, I don't know.
Sandra Bullock is like one of the most beloved stars that we have left. Keanu Reeves also super beloved. And if the idea is good enough and the execution is good enough and they actually do return to that sort of practical level of filmmaking, they can't obviously do it quite in the exact same way as they did the first movie, because there were like safety concerns and things like that that I think have evolved in the years since. But if they could try to do, like, swear to God that they do no green screen work and like really have that as part of a Top Gun Maverick style marketing campaign of like, we did all this stuff for real, I think it could, you know, get up into the number that it would need to make to actually break, you know, be profitable or whatever the threshold is there. So
it's and again, Top Gun Maverick, you did beat me to it. I was going to say that I don't know if the original Speed is at that Top Gun level. But in the era of Top Gun Maverick, you could see this feels a little less safe to me. But I think that if Sandra and Keanu were willing to sort of take like a deferred salary or something, I could see it. And I think that this might be a bit of fishing in the press, you know, like yeah. It might just be like, hey, do you guys really want to do this? You know, and then like, who knows, man, I'd be curious to see if it happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that's going to do it for today's show. You can find more about all the stories that we mentioned on the show at slashfilm.com. I will link to a bunch of them in the show notes for this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That genuinely helps us out a lot. Please, please, please tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.